Open your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, and I'm going to read chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. Hear now the Word of God. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, if you go back to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, he introduces his gospel saying, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of David, Son of Abraham." Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and he wants us to know that Jesus is the heir of both Abraham goes all the way back, and David, but his lineage goes all the way back. And then he gives us, in the first chapter of Matthew, he gives us the genealogy of Jesus, tracing him all the way back to the beginning of the story of the Jewish people. The story of the Jewish people is a story of a lot of traveling. God called Abraham and Sarah out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, "I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to give you." And they went as God led them. They end up eventually in Egypt, and they get taken out of the promised land and end up in Egypt where they are slaves. Then God, seeing their misery and their plight, liberates them out of bondage in Egypt and leads them out into the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. And God provides for them and leads them wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, finally back to the promised land again. And then later on in their history, they get yanked out of the promised land, 586 BC, when the Babylonians lay siege to Jerusalem and take the people away into exile in Babylon. And then after a time there in Babylon, they get to journey. There's a lot of journeying going on for the people of God. And by starting his gospel with that genealogy of Jesus, Matthew wants to impress upon us that God has been preparing his people for a long time for the gift of a Savior. This is not God's plan B. The gift of the Savior has been God's plan in the heart of God from all eternity. And God has been laying the groundwork in the story of his people, teaching a people to trust in his faithfulness through a lot of changes. Every human story is about a journey and a search. Now, I'm probably a kind of a rare bird now, nowadays anyway. I did all my growing up years in the same house. Maybe you did too. Of course, some of my siblings will challenge the grow up part, but every one of us is on a life's journey. You leave home and you either go to college or you start a career or you start a family. And you leave home to do that. And then you end up, you start out in an apartment. And at some point you go from an apartment to a little house. And then you go from the little house to the big house. And, well, not that big house. You know what I'm talking about. You go from the little house to the big house, and then after a while you get tired of that big house because you don't need all that space anymore. And by the way, every time I mow the lawn, I'm thinking, you know, apartment living is starting to sound really good. And then, you know, at some point you move into a place that can offer you a little bit of help because independence doesn't seem all that good anymore. Even if you never leave home, there will be so many changes along the way, nothing really stays the same. Life is always moving, and so we're always searching. And along the way, we look for guidance, right? Some people look to their family and friends for guidance. Some will try the latest self-help fad. Some try education and more education and more education. Some look for the perfect job or the best company to work for. Some folks turn on their TV and get guidance from a talk show host or a slick TV preacher. Some try spirituality. Some get so desperate they go to church. Looking for guidance. How do I find the way? Anything to make some sense of the journey. Well, in the ancient world, it was common to look to the stars. Now, I know people do this also today. Look at their astrological forecast. I honestly think most people don't take that very seriously. If you do, repent right now. But in the ancient world, it was a very common belief that the stars dictate events here on earth. And you can look to the stars and the motion of the stars and planets for guidance. The Egyptians believed this, as did the Greeks and the Persians and the Chinese. One of the earliest star charts that we have, by the way, dates from about 1,400 years before Christ. It was developed by the Chinese. And it maps over 800 stars, which seems pretty impressive. And now, of course, we know that there are billions of stars in our, as Carl Sagan used to say, billions and billions of stars just in our galaxy alone. And our galaxy is just one of billions of galaxies. So if you want to look to the stars for guidance, be prepared for information overload. Most of us don't look to the stars anymore, but we are fascinated by information. And we have more information at our fingertips. Oh, my word, just think of the information that's available to us on a Google search that previous generations could not have imagined. We have more information available than any generation in history, And I don't think we've ever been more confused about what to do with that information or what the meaning, what life is all about, and the direction and purpose for which our lives were intended. We're more deeply confused about that. Our culture's more deeply confused about that than ever before. Well, 2,000 years ago, these magi, by the way, the Bible does not call them wise men. That's one, certainly one way to translate it, but the word is magoi, magi, and it is indeed the root of our word magician. They were stargazers, astrologers, probably also interpreters of dreams. And by the way, that word does occur earlier in the Bible. Daniel, when he was in Babylon, remember Daniel, because he was a person of great spiritual insight and wisdom, he got the ear of King Nebuchadnezzar because he could interpret dreams. You may remember the story. And he was named chief of the Magoi, the Magi, of Babylon. Now, we're going to come back to that in a couple of minutes. But these wise men, the Magi, they had a lot less information than we do, but they saw something in the night sky. We don't know exactly what it was. There's some speculation it could have been the conjunction of Jupiter and Venus that occurred at about that time. Could have been a comet. By the way, most artists' depictions of the star, here we go. Most artists' depictions of the star show it as being really super mega bright. Now, the text would indicate there's something really unusual about this star when it comes to rest over a particular house. But when they first see it, when they are in the east and they strike out on their journey, there's no indication in the text that this star is any brighter than any other star or that it stands out in any way except to them. And they saw something in the heavens that set them on a journey and a search. We don't know for sure, but it's an intriguing possibility. It says they were in the east, wise men from the east. If you go due east of Jerusalem, you'll almost exactly due east, you hit Babylon, about 900 miles away. We don't know for sure, but it's certainly an intriguing possibility because we know that the word of God went to Babylon, didn't it? The witness to the true God, the God of Israel. Jewish people took their faith with them when they went to Babylon in the 587 BC and when they were held there in exile. And the Jewish people were in despair. But the prophet Jeremiah told them, seek the welfare of the city where you've been planted. For in its welfare, you'll find your welfare. And build houses, marry, have families. Practice your faith. Be an influence. Well, intriguing possibility, that influence down through over 500 years. What if these wise men put it together with something they saw in the sky, and they set out and they knew where to go? We're going to Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, they stopped to ask directions. The first indication that they really were wise men. Sign of weakness, though, asking for directions. And the Bible scholars of Jerusalem said, well, Bethlehem is where the Messiah is to be born. It's a sad irony, and of course, Herod says, well, you go find him, and then tell me where he is so that I can come worship him too. Well, we know what he has. He has murder on his mind. And by the way, we know from secular sources that Herod had killed three of his own family members who were rivals to his throne. He was accustomed to using murder to defend his territory. But it's a sad irony that these wise outsiders, these foreigners, left everything to search for the new king, when the insiders in Jerusalem who knew the scriptures were taken completely by surprise and missed it completely. And it's a beginning glimpse Matthew is showing us that the gospel is going to explode out of Israel and the Gentiles are going to come to the light of his glory. And that's why we're included in the covenant that began with Abraham. Well, a whole lot of Christmases have come and gone since then. And all of these generations, the Bible's been telling us about the birth of Jesus the Savior. It is the biggest celebration of the year. It's hardly a secret that Christ has been born. But we live in a world that's still searching. And it's a strange paradox about today's world that if you tell people you're on a spiritual quest, if you tell people you're on a spiritual search, they'll pat you on the back and say, wow, that's wonderful, that's awesome. You tell them that you've found the answer, not only for yourself, but for the whole world, they're going to treat you like you have leprosy. What an ignorant fundamentalist you are. But brothers and sisters, that's what the wise men did. Maybe that's why we call them wise men. They had to leave their own country. They left their own culture. And I'm sure that there were people telling them, can't you find the answer here? And they said, no, we're going to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they knew exactly what to do. They bowed down and they worshiped the king. They honored Christ as Lord of all. He was the end of their search. And that's why, by the way, I think Matthew underlines for it. I told you earlier, that it's a very interesting sentence, that when they saw the star again and they saw it come to rest over a particular house, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And you look at that sentence in the Greek and it's almost like Matthew couldn't think of enough adjectives to pack in there. How they're exploding with excitement and joy. How many times as they were making that 900-mile journey, if that's what it was, from all the way from Babylon, it would have taken months. How many times did they ask themselves, are we out of our minds? Is this crazy? Are we really going to find anything? And are they going to have anything to do with us when we get there? Can we imagine what it meant to them when suddenly, as they approached Bethlehem, they saw the star again, only this time come low somehow and indicating a particular house? Now, this is a miracle beyond what we can imagine. Obviously, this is something supernatural, more than just a star in the sky. Can you imagine what that said to the wise men? It meant God saw them coming. It's as if God is saying, I know you. I know your search. I've been leading you all along. Welcome home. Wow. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy because they found the object of their search. Brothers and sisters, the object of our search, whether we know it or not, the answer to every search is Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of God in human flesh. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell bodily, the Bible tells us. There's a theologian named Diogenes Allen, died just a few years ago. But he tells a story. He was once asked by a woman, why should she go to church when she has no religious feelings at all? So she said, why should I bother going to church? And he gave her a very wonderful answer. He said, because it's true. because the gospel about Jesus is true. And you need church because you need to be reminded at least once a week what the real truth is. The Church of Jesus Christ is not just one more dish on the smorgasbord of life that you can take or leave if you want. But we're not here to claim we somehow own Jesus. No, we don't. He owns us, brothers and sisters. When the wise men got to Jesus, they bowed down. And that's what we do here. We're saying, Jesus, we belong to you. You don't belong to us. He's not a possession that we can wield. We dare to say here that the search for a Savior is over. And He's found us. Amen? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of these wise men who left behind safety and left behind everything that they knew that was familiar, and they set out on a search guided by you. And you led them to Bethlehem and to the house where a little toddler named Jesus lived. And when they found, they bowed down and worshiped and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh God, fill us with that joy. That the joy of finding Jesus will be refreshed in our lives so that the world will see. The people that we come in contact will see that joy and wonder where it comes from. And we pray it all in Christ's precious name. Amen.